You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we break down the stuff that actually matters when you're learning to fly or sharpening your skills. Today, we're talking about night flying, specifically the difference between being current and being proficient, because those two words sound like they mean the same thing. They absolutely do not. And confusing them can get you into real trouble. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. If you love aviation, they've got the gear to prove it. Great stuff for pilots and aviation enthusiasts. Check them out. All right, let's get into it. Here's the scenario. You haven't flown at night in about 2.5 months. A buddy calls you up on a Friday afternoon and says, "Hey, let's fly down to the coast for dinner. Sunsets at 7:30. You'll be coming back after dark." You think to yourself, "Am I current to do this?" So you pull up 14 CFR 6157, that's the section on recent flight experience, and it says that to act as pilot in command carrying passengers at night, you need 3 takeoffs and 3 landings to a full stop in the preceding 90 days. Those takeoffs and landings have to be done during the period beginning 1 hour after sunset and ending 1 hour before sunrise. You check your logbook. 82 days ago, you knocked out 3 night landings at your home field. You're current, barely. You tell your buddy you're good to go. But here's the question I want you to sit with. Are you actually good to go? Currency is a legal standard. It's a checkbox. Did you do the thing within the time window? Yes or no? The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, set that bar, and it's a minimum, a floor, not a ceiling. Proficiency is something entirely different. Proficiency is whether you can actually do the thing. Well, whether your skills are sharp, whether your scan is solid, whether you can fly a stabilized approach to a runway that's surrounded by nothing but darkness and nail that landing. Let me put it this way. Imagine you haven't played basketball in 89 days. Technically, you played within the last 90. Would you say you're ready to play a competitive game? Probably not. You'd want to shoot around first, get your legs under you. Same idea here, except the stakes are a lot higher than a pickup game. Let's walk through this together. What makes night flying different? Why does this currency versus proficiency gap matter so much at night specifically? First, your visual references change dramatically during the day. You've got a horizon. You've got ground features. You've got depth perception working in your favor. At night, a lot of that goes away. You're relying on runway lighting, airport beacons, and your instruments in ways you simply don't during daylight operations. Second, your eyes work differently at night. We're talking about the shift from photopic vision, that's your cone-based daytime vision, to scotopic vision, which is rod-based. Your rods are great at detecting motion and dim light, but they're terrible at detail and color. It takes your eyes roughly 30 minutes to fully adapt to darkness. And one quick look at a bright white screen on your phone can reset that process. Third, illusions. Black hole approaches are a real thing. When you're flying into an airport at night that's surrounded by unlit terrain or water, you lose all visual cues for your glide path. Pilots have flown perfectly good airplanes right into the ground on final approach because the visual picture told them they were higher than they actually were. The controlled flight into terrain statistics at night are sobering. And then there's weather. Weather that's perfectly flyable during the day can be dangerous at night. Clouds that you could see and avoid with 10 miles visibility in daylight become invisible walls. Reduced visibility at night is harder to assess because you don't have the same visual benchmarks. So back to our scenario, you're technically current. But if you haven't practiced flying at night in almost 3 months, your scan is rusty. Your comfort with the sight picture on a night approach is diminished. Your awareness of those illusions isn't as sharp. Your eyes might not be fully adapted because you were scrolling your phone on the ramp. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, doesn't just test whether you can do a task. It tests whether you understand the risk management behind that task. If you look at the night operations section, the ACS specifically lists risk management elements like physiological considerations for night flying, lighting systems, and personal minimums. The examiner is looking for you to demonstrate that you understand the difference between what's legal and what's smart. If you're on a check ride and the examiner asks you about night currency, don't just recite the regulation. Talk about what you'd actually do to make sure you're safe. Talk about your personal minimums. Talk about how you'd prepare. That's what separates a pass from a fail on oral exam day. So how do you stay proficient, not just current? Number one, fly at night regularly, not just 3 landings every 89 days. Get out there at least once a month if you can. Fly to a familiar airport, fly the pattern, get comfortable with the sight picture. Number two, practice at airports you know first. Don't combine a night flight with an unfamiliar destination on a night you're already rusty. Stack the deck in your favor, home field, familiar approaches, known terrain. Number three, brief yourself on the illusions before you go. Rain on the windscreen at night refracts runway lights and makes the runway appear farther away than it is. A runway that slopes uphill creates the illusion that you're higher than you are. Featureless terrain on final approach can lure you into descending below glide path. Just reviewing these before you fly sharpens your awareness. Number 4. Use your instruments even in visual conditions. At night, in visual meteorological conditions, you should still be cross-checking your altimeter, your vertical speed indicator, and your airspeed on approach. Don't rely solely on the visual picture. The visual picture at night is a liar sometimes. Number 5. Set personal minimums for night operations. Maybe your daytime personal minimum is a 3,000-foot ceiling and 5 miles visibility. At night, bump those up. Maybe 5,007? Maybe higher if you're going somewhere unfamiliar. That buffer exists because your ability to see and avoid hazards is reduced. Number 6. Get a flight review that includes night flying. When you do your biennial flight review, ask your instructor to include some night work. It's a great way to get objective feedback on your night proficiency from someone watching from the right seat. And number 7. If you're not comfortable, say no. This is the hardest one. Your buddy's excited about dinner at the coast. You don't want to be the person who cancels the plan, but a good pilot is someone who says, "You know what? I'm current, but I'm not comfortable. Let's do this one during the day. Or let me go fly the pattern Tuesday night by myself first, and then we'll do the dinner trip next weekend." That right there is aeronautical decision-making. That's ADM in action, and it's exactly what the FAA wants to see from certificated pilots. It's what the ACS is testing when it asks about risk management. Let me give you one more real scenario to think about. You're a freshly minted private pilot. You got your certificate in the summer. You did your minimum 3 hours of night flight training, including that one cross-country and those 10 night landings that Part 61 requires. It's now January. The days are short. You want to fly somewhere that's only an hour away, but by the time you're heading home, it'll be dark. You're current. Those training flights count. But think about what you've actually experienced at night. 3 hours in the summer, probably clear skies, probably with your instructor handling the radios or backing you up. Now it's winter, the air is different, the weather is different, the sunset is way earlier, you might be flying into a headwind on the way home with the fuel planning getting tighter. Are you proficient? Only you can answer that honestly. And honest self-assessment is the most important skill a pilot can develop. Let me wrap up with this. Currency is what the regulation requires. 3 takeoffs and landings to a full stop within 90 days performed during the night window to carry passengers at night. That's the legal standard. Know it cold. Proficiency is what safety requires. It's the skill, the comfort, the judgment, and the recent practice that let you actually fly safely in the conditions you're about to face. No regulation can define that for you. That's on you. The best pilots I know are the ones who are honest about the gap between their currency and their proficiency. They close that gap before they take passengers up. They don't wait until they're at 89 days to go fly 3 laps in the pattern. They stay ahead of it. Be that pilot. Today's discussion draws from 14 CFR 6157, the FAA Airman Certification Standards, and the Aeronautical Information Manual's excellent section on night operations and visual illusions. The FAA also publishes safety guidance on night, flying through their FAA safety team, known as the FAST. All great resources worth reviewing. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated aviation broadcast built by people who love flying and want to make pilot training more accessible. You can find more episodes and info at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Go fly the pattern a few times this week, and if it's dark out, even better. Get those skills sharp. I'll catch you next time, Radio Hangar. Clear skies and tailwinds.